The following broadcast is brought to you by Sons of God International and Freedom Fellowship Church. Hello, and welcome to the prophetic voice of our time, where we focus on the voice of prophecy, which is the testimony of Jesus Christ. Our host, Christina Sasso, is a senior pastor at Freedom Fellowship Church. Let's hear what she has to say to the body of Christ.
God bless you for tuning in. This is just an awesome and glorious day. This is Christina Sasso of Freedom Fellowship Church and Sons of God International, and this is the prophetic voice of our time. Exciting things and glorious things are happening. Supernatural things, so get ready. It's your turn in the name of Jesus. It's your time and season. Only believe, okay? So stay tuned. We are going to discuss a lot of wonderful things, and some of them are repetitious teachings because they are necessary. Okay. So if I'm repeating myself over and over again, it means to say you haven't gotten it yet, or some of you have not gotten it yet, or you yourself, brother, sister, have not gotten it yet. So here it is, especially ordered for you from heaven. The Holy Spirit is revealing many things in this season. As I mentioned before, we will, this generation, this season, we will receive revelation from God that have not been revealed to God's people in the past generations. New wonderful things, and they are in the Bible. The revelation of Christ unfolding before us. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 2 and 6. It says, "Surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly." In reading this then, this is from NIV. "In reading this then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ." Verse 5, "which was not made known to men in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets." For several years now, the Lord had me release a prophetic voice that the apostles and prophets are taking the center stage, and they will influence every sector of society. And this revelation, they're going to receive it. God's true apostles and prophets are going to receive the revelation of Christ that has never been revealed before in the past generations. So in the generation of the Apostle Paul, what was revealed to him that has not been revealed in the past generations? It's in verse 6, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 6. It says, "This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Jesus Christ." God does not play favorites. The nations of Israel are the apple of his eyes, and so is the Christian nation, which is the body of Christ, the believers, the born-again believers. Okay? So God does not favor one over the other. I want you to understand that. Okay? You are special. You are special in God's heart. So this revelation is now being emphasized and revealed by the Holy Spirit, and we, the leaders and people of God, getting it have been increasing. Glory to God. Jesus is opening our minds and our hearts to receive this revelation. In Luke chapter 24, verses 44 and 45, it says, "He said to them, 'This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms.'" 45. "Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures." Isn't that amazing? The Lord Jesus is right now opening your mind so that you will understand the scriptures. Prepare to receive. You are in for a wonderful, exciting walk with Jesus in 2017, this year and beyond. Where the Holy Spirit is leading us, he is leading us towards our inheritance, manifestation of God-ordained relationship, healing, restoration. He is leading us towards the promises of God. We have never been this way before. How are we able to know which way to go? If we are trying to lead the Holy Spirit where we want to go, based on our own understanding, ability, strength, or resources, it won't do. The Holy Spirit will wait for you until you allow Him to lead you instead. He's patient, and He can wait forever for you. But He is not going to allow you to lead Him. He is God. No matter how much you holler and cry, no matter how long you fast, He is not going to allow you to lead Him. Okay? So let us yield to that. Let me share with you what we're learning in our fundraising events. I think I mentioned this before, but it's worth repeating. When God directed me at the beginning of this year to go to Israel to lead a tour, my flesh didn't want to go. But then He directed me to be there during the Feast of the Weeks or Pentecost. That got my attention. Because you know what? God ordained our footsteps. Even on little things, when He directs us and we obey, it produces supernatural results. So even my flesh didn't want to go, I obeyed. Then He told me that He has been watching and has been seeing how the praise team, being led by Deborah Farrell, they have been practicing, they have been around the clock, they're not complaining, they're always praying and practicing and preparing for the praise and worship services. And God is looking at all of that, and He wanted to take them to Israel. And I asked the praise team, and they said, yes, they did. Everybody is going. Every one of them heard from God. And God wants them to believe Him for the resources to pay for the tour. And at the same time, as part of their preparation, because of their trustworthiness and because of their willingness and hard work, they are a part of the transfer of wealth, influence, and affluence. And so the Holy Spirit led us to raise fundraising because He wants us to do things His way. We are not going to fast and pray for God to touch somebody's heart, to have millions of dollars and to give. You know, God has been touching, and some of you are listening right now, even to sow seed in this ministry, and you have not responded. So God knows. So He is leading us into something that will qualify all of us, if we fail not, if we are trustworthy, for the manifestation of the transfer of wealth. And at the same time, the Holy Spirit, who is our teacher and our God, is teaching us to do finances. So God wanted all of us to believe for the finances to pay for this trip, because He wants to bless each and every one of us at the same time, because we are a part of the transfer of wealth. And I agree with the Lord. Our praise team have been working hard, our ministry team. They are the best in the world, and they deserve this. So God wants us to do the fundraising differently, His ways of doing things, to train the group how to hear from God, how to be led by the Holy Spirit, how to work and be fruitful and productive, how to be faithful. We worked. We have been working 7 days a week, me and the team. Our children, especially our younger people in the group, they are at the same time learning leadership, management, accounting, and we all are learning to appreciate work, good work. My father used to tell me that being able to work is a privilege and a gift from God. And we, their children, me and my brothers and sisters, we were all assigned chores in the house. It doesn't matter whether we have lots of homework, we were not exempted. And even though we had domestic helpers, we in the body of Christ have been trained and conditioned to minister, to pray, to lay hands on the sick, to pray for people, and to do works of service in the ministry. They are all good, and they are all necessary. Okay? A part of our revelation for this generation is Revelation 1:6 and 5:10 in King James Version, that God created us to be kings and priests, to rule and reign with Him here on earth. We Christians have trained, how to minister, how to deliver and prepare for a service or a sermon, how to evangelize. And all of this have been effective and are good, but we were never trained how to govern or administer. You know, kings govern. They rule and reign. And remember Isaiah 9:2, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and we are the body of Christ. We must learn how to govern, how to manage companies, how to administer. So you and I have to overcome where God has placed us right now. Don't be in a hurry to be on a full-time ministry. We are all full-time ministers of our God, wherever we're at. That is the mindset that we need to think and meditate upon, okay? Because we cannot mingle the system of the world, even though they're good, into the system of our God. And I'll explain that later on, okay? But we are operating in a better covenant. And this is one of the things that will be uprooted, overthrown, and thrown down. And to be destroyed, starting in 2017, is some of our doctrines and our way of thinking concerning ministry and being in the kingdom of God. I'm going to give you assignment. Meditate, read, and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal things to you. Hebrews chapters 5 and 7. Okay? Once we get this, we will know who we are in Christ Jesus, and the power that the church will emerge as a glorious church. Instead of many of us are wondering, where is the power in the church? Well, it is manifesting at Freedom Fellowship Church. I don't know where you're going, but it is manifesting in ours. We don't have to look for it, okay? But let me read to you a part of Hebrews, okay? Hebrews chapter 7, starting with verse 11. Hebrews chapter 7, starting with verse 11. If perfection could have been attained through the Levitical priesthood, for on the basis of it, the law was given to the people. I'm reading NIV. Why was there still need for another priest to come? One in the order of Melchizedek, not in the order of Aaron. For when there is a change of the priesthood, I want you to listen to this. For there is a change of the priesthood, there must also be a change of the law. Verse 13, he of whom these things are said belonged to a different tribe, and no one from that tribe has ever served at the altar. For it is clear that our Lord descended from Judah, and in regard to that tribe, Moses said nothing about priests. And what we have said is even more clear if another priest like Melchizedek appears. One who has become a priest not on the basis of a regulation as to his ancestry, but on the basis of the power of an indestructible life. For it is written, you are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. The law, you have to come from a tribe of Aaron or Levi, right? You have to be a firstborn son. You have to be a man. So those are the regulation of Levitical priesthood. But God saw fault in it and changed the priesthood to the order of Melchizedek, not a Levitical priesthood anymore. So everybody can be a priest, including young, including old, including male. Oh, guess what? Including women. Because once we're born again, we became a spirit being in a body. So a change of the law was done through our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? Let me read it again. Verse 16. One who has become a priest, not on the basis of a regulation as to his ancestry, but on the basis of the power of an indestructible life. For it is written, you are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. Verse 18. The former regulation is set aside because it was weak and useless. For the law made nothing perfect, and a better hope is introduced by which we draw near to God. And it was not without an oath. other priests became priests without any oath, but he, Jesus, became a priest with an oath when God said to him, "The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever." Because of this oath, Jesus has become the guarantee of a better covenant. So, us leaders, we need to disciple God's people to be minister of the gospel and to rule and to reign, but at the same time, we have to be a priest to the order of Melchizedek, not Levitical priesthood. That's why young people can be a priest. We are all a priest. Because why? And also, we are also a part of the body of Christ or the bride of Christ. Because Jesus is forever a priest to the order of Melchizedek, his body, the body of Christ, you and I are priests forever to the order of Melchizedek. We must be led by the Holy Spirit and lay aside our traditions, which are a combination of the law of Moses, Levitical priesthood, and we're trying to work it in the perfect covenant and the new covenant that is in Christ Jesus. The order of Levites, Levitical priesthood, is not going to work in power. That's why there is no power in the church. We have to be ministers and priests of our Lord Jesus Christ to the order of Melchizedek, because that's who he is. Hello. There are two systems. We all know that. There are two systems operating on the earth: the kingdom of this world and the kingdom of our God. And we know that in the book of Revelation, the kingdom of the world, one system, and the kingdom of our God. Let us ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to us what is operating in our lives, even in our ministry, even in our businesses, that are still patterned in the kingdom of the world. Because even if we spiritualize these things, in spite of all of these things, because in the book of Hebrews it says, anything that can be shaken will be shaken so that the things of God shall remain. That is in Hebrews 12:27. So if your practices, even your mindset or belief, are not patterned after the kingdom of our God, under the priest to the order of Melchizedek, not Levitical priesthood, they are bound to be shaken and fail. As a nation, I am talking about Christians. We need to apply God's ways of doing things here on earth. This system is patterned after our Lord Jesus Christ, and he is the one who gave us the principles of the kingdom. You read the four gospels, I guarantee you, your eyes will be opened. As a former banker and a businesswoman, it is Jesus Christ who laid out the basic principles of finances, management, and everything that he expects us to apply here on earth. We're supposed to operate in the kingdom of God. And what is the kingdom of God? It says the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. We need not to be just a student of the Bible. We need to be a student of the Holy Spirit. And when he lead us with scripture to read and meditate on, he will give us revelation and understanding that's never been revealed in the past generations. That's how influential we will become. So the system of our God, Jesus laid out the foundation and the principles of his kingdom here on earth. The transfer of wealth and influence and affluence, it is not patterned in the ways of the world. It is not based on your resources or your background, your education, or your gender, or your age, or your looks, or abilities. It is based on our faithfulness and by being led by the Holy Spirit. It is based on us to implement God's ways of doing things here on earth in every area of our life, right? Okay. We need to go back to Luke chapter 16, verses 1 through 12, over and over again. This is about the shrewd manager, right? And listen to this. I want to emphasize on this. I'm going to go back and remind you and nag you about this because this is important. This is, thus saith the Lord, the transfer of wealth, influence, and affluence are now beginning to manifest in every area of our life. And we need to understand this, right? So in Luke chapter 16, verses 8 and 9, it says, "The master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly." This is important on what Jesus said. "For the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the people of the light." This is what Jesus is talking about. The unbelievers or the worldly people are more effective, successful, and productive and smart in operating the world system than the believers operating in the system of our God. Concerning the transfer of wealth that is now manifesting, Luke chapter 16, verses 10 and 12, "Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much." So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? I based our fundraising events on this scripture. Everybody in the group, everybody who are involved in the fundraising events, they work hard and they work harder. Each and everyone was assigned a responsibility. They have to be faithful in those responsibility, because if they can handle simple instructions, they will be able to handle bigger things. No matter how much we memorize the scripture, like "the wealth of the wicked is laid out for the just," and we really believe it, we never doubt it. But if we are not applying the principles of the kingdom of God, it's not going to manifest. Faith is combined by corresponding action or work. And faith worketh by love, the love of God. So it was Jesus who laid out this foundation, and that's what we're doing. And in our fundraising event, I really bless you, our listeners, for coming, for showing up, just to encourage us and to go shopping or to buy some food and to encourage us. You will be blessed for what you did. But for some of you who came, even some pastors, who wanting to take away the funds from the group because they are asking for money or they're practically wanting the furnitures or the stuff almost for free, I am not going to allow you to take away the resources from this group. Because these fundraising events, we were instructed by the Lord and inspired by the Lord to raise these funds specifically for two areas. For the Israel tour and for the upgrade of this radio broadcast. Nothing else. And I will always say no, without any guilt, to anyone who tried to change those vision and instruction. It's unfair for the praise team for you to even try to take away from them. Why don't you do your fundraising yourself? Why don't you ask God for instruction? You know, we are not begging for money. We never did. Beggars are not allowed in this ministry. We work hard and we believe God. And guess what? The fundraising events became a fundraising events for all of us. We were laughing. We encountered so much problems and the little foxes came to destroy the vine. I mean, I could never imagine people taking and stuffing $1, $2, $3 item in their purses and walking away without paying for it. If it's food, I would have given you more. But really? $1 or $2 knickknacks? And you're stealing it? I feel sorry for you, but you're not going to be a part of this ministry. This is not a begging ministry, and you will not be welcome. Our primary thing is to minister before our Lord and to obey the Great Commission. And yes, Once we are instructed upon by God, yes, we give to the poor, but we don't hand out anything to beggars. Let me leave it at that, but I wanted to encourage you, my dear brothers and sisters. This is the manifestation, this is the season for the manifestation of the transfer of wealth, influence, and affluence. God is hoping and calling you to be a part of it. So come join us in implementing God's ways of doing things and operate as a priest to the order of Melchizedek instead of Levitical priesthood. God bless you for tuning in. Until next time.
Thank you for listening. We all hope you were blessed by this message today. If you were, let us hear from you. If you wish to contact us or sow a seed, our phone number is 210-396-7891. And for Saturday's program, call us at 210-695-1630. Send all emails to sonsofgod@satx.rr.com and all letters to P.O. Box 1579, Lotus, Texas 78023. For more info, including service times and upcoming events, find us at www.sogmi.org. That's www.sogmi.org.